It's in Jersey.
Jersey.
It's in a castle at the Sheraton.
Ah.
But that was the first one, then Denver.
Yeah, I remember. I saw that.
I saw you doing Brandon.
Yeah. Yeah.
True Fly Supply.
He's crazy.
And
he is
Blue,
crazy.
And Blue Halo.
Oh, and Blue
boys.
Halo. I love
that
those
was
boys.
Fun.
Quartz. I love them.
Quartz, awesome.
Yeah. And Phil, oh my God, he's becoming like the best editor.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's a rock star.
Yeah.
And Derek Oltheus.
Oh, yeah, Derek's amazing. Yeah.
My man crush.
Mm-hmm. Is he?
Well, Tom Brady first, and then Derek Oltheus.
Oh, well, you know, I mean,
Tom
we all
got to
have our firsts.
Tom Rosenbauer had his first.
He did.
He got
his
a tattoo.
First tattoo.
His
wow.
First tattoo. Yeah, live.
That's crazy.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay.
All right.
You guys want to hear the opening?
Sure.
Welcome. You're listening to the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast, live from the Fly Fishing Show in Edison, New Jersey. Fly Fishing Journeys is proud to be broadcasting live from the event and having great conversations with many of the finest fly fishing and fly tying experts in the world. You can find these podcasts posted to our website, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and Facebook. To stay up to date with these and other Fly Fishing Journeys adventures, please be sure to follow and subscribe. Here's your host, Rob Giannino.
Thanks, Josh. So typically I cut out all the opening banter, but more Rip and Hopper is better than less because those two completely crack me up. As you heard on this episode of the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast, we sit down with Jen Ripple of Dunn Magazine and Heather Hodson of the United Women on the Fly. We caught up at the Edison, New Jersey show and talked about the Women's Showcase, which is featured at the Denver and Edison fly fishing shows, the adventures of Rip and Hopper, and how the growth of women in fly fishing is revolutionizing our sport. Before we get to the show, I wanted to pass on a couple announcements. Fly Fishing Journeys teamed up with many great companies this year to collaborate and explore. One of our great friends is Tim Camisa of Trout and Feather, and in August, we joined up with Harrison Hughes of Black Mountain Cinema and Tate Cunningham of Moonshine Rods and traveled to Iceland for Big Browns and Arctic Char. Then I went back in September with Ben Forimski of The Fly Fishing Show, along with author Jason Randall and his wife Jo for Atlantic Salmon. We got a ton of great footage and loved it so much we're heading back in 2020 for at least one trip and maybe more. If you'd like to join us on one of these adventures, and particularly Iceland in 2020, and want the inside scoop, register for our newsletter at flyfishingjourneys.com for all the details. The annual Fly Tying Symposium is taking place this November at the Sheraton Hotel in Parsippany, New Jersey. Many of the finest fly tiers in the world will be there tying just for you, and you can find out all the details at internationalflytyingsymposium.com. Before we get to the show, we want to thank our sponsors, and I'm starting to get pumped to see everyone in January for the show season. Visit flyfishingshow.com for all the time and location information. And finally, here's a short message from our favorite fly tying vice.
From the original prototype designed in the late 70s to our brand new legacy stainless steel vise released in 2018, Norvise has been committed to one thing: efficiency. Tie better flies faster. A long-standing slogan with the company truly encompasses what the Norvise fly tying system does. What it means is to tie a fly in less time and more consistently due to the ease and benefits engineered into this outstanding system. For more information, please visit www.nor-vice.com. Norvice, the most innovative fly tying system on the market.
Well, thanks, Josh. I'm so excited to be here in Edison, New Jersey. I am more than happy to have both Jen Ripple and Heather Hodson here on the podcast, and we are going to talk about the Women's Showcase. We originally saw the showcase in Denver, and we are here in Edison, and it's also here in Edison. So Jen Ripple, for those who don't know, is the editor and publisher?
Yep.
Editor and publisher of Dunn Magazine, a women's only full color fly fishing magazine, high quality publication that I get to my house.
Good. I'm glad you do.
And really enjoy it. Great publication. And then, Heather, you're with the United Women's...
On the Fly.
On the Fly. Yep. And so we're going to learn all about that today. So, ladies, thank you for being on our podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
So for those who don't know, please tell our listeners about the Women's Showcase.
Yeah, so the Women's Showcase actually is on its third year at the Fly Show. So 3 years ago, there was not going to be a women's showcase. They had tried it out the first, like, 4 years ago, and then there wasn't going to be one. And so a woman from Denver actually contacted me and said, hey, listen, there's not going to be a women's showcase at this fly show. I hadn't even attended a fly show at that point. And so kind of said, you know, to myself and contacted a bunch of great women in the sport and said, listen, we can't have this. Women are the growing demographic in our sport. It seems ridiculous that there's not a woman's section to the fly show. And so from that, women just kind of banded together and we put together a bunch of different booths that are women-owned businesses in the fly industry. And it's just grown like crazy in the last 3 years. So it was in Denver and then it was in Edison. But the interesting thing is when it was in Somerset, it was just like you had to peer behind the curtain of like the Wizard of Oz and walk through the curtain behind the nonprofits to get to this room, and that's all it was.
That was the women.
So it's grown since then into this, like, we can't get enough vendor space to actually have the space that we need in the women's showcase to support all the women that come to the shows now, which is exciting.
Yeah, that's really great. And, you know, there's a huge push, obviously, with Orvis 50-50, 50% of the women on the water. Heather, tell us a little bit about the United Women for Fly Fishing.
So it's United Women on the Fly, and basically it's a global online community of women. So we're at, there's like 2,050 women in the group, and it's just a closed group, and it's just basically a way for people to connect, and it's just a community. So it's of anglers, mostly women, and it's just basically sharing the love. So sharing education, not being group or organization specific, it's just being all inclusive. We want to include everybody. And so just, you know, events or different women's hosted trips or different groups, just like basically having this central hub to show that there's all these women's groups. You know, if I'm looking and I want to come to New Jersey, is there a women's group here? And then you go and you can click on it and you can find that out.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So is it a website? Is it a Facebook group?
So
is
there's
it
a website. It's uwotf.com.
Okay.
And then there's social media as well. So there's a public group and then there's a closed group. And we were just talking, so there's 2,050 women in this closed group, and this is all free. And within that group, we've had, over the last 28 days, over 10,000 comments, and 1,811 of those 2,050 women are active.
That's so cool.
Is rocking. Like, these women, this is what people want. They want that kind of platform to just express themselves and learn and get education and become a better angler.
I saw the news piece out of Denver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wrangler. Instead of angler, they put Heather Hodson Wrangler.
Wrangler.
So I'm Wrangler.
You're a woman angler, yeah.
You were in Colorado, yeah. So
yeah.
You could be a
Wrangler.
Totally, yeah.
So, yeah, it was an awesome news piece, though, mm-hmm. about how women are growing the sport right now,
yeah.
And it's a huge explosion in the fly fishing. The women are taken over.
That's right.
It's growing.
But it's interesting because people think that women are new to the sport, and we're not new, you know.
Right.
From the first book that was written on fly fishing was written by a woman and published in 1497. So it's not like women are new to the sport. Mm-hmm. It's just that we've never been the type that have been out there doing the hero shots and like bragging about our catches. We just really love it, and we do it, and we have fun in the water, and
maybe the guys are just taking notice now.
Maybe that's true.
Well, and I think it's social media too, you know, because with the Dunn and with United Women on the Fly, we show amateurs, right? So it's totally grassroots. And I think that you post a photo of somebody that doesn't look perfect, and then that person can relate to somebody in that photo.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is why this is growing, is because people, you know, just normal people can relate to that and want to do it and want to start.
Yeah. And two, you know, I think that so many times, you know, you have to have the perfect picture and you have to like show the perfect cast and you have to be the perfect angler. But you know what? Women don't care about that. I don't care about that. Most of the times, you know, my friends call me the flamingo because I stand on one leg while I'm trying to untangle the line from around my other leg while I'm casting, right? That's just reality. If you think that just because you've been fishing for 15 years, you're not going to get tangled in your fly line or caught in a tree, that's ridiculous. I mean, that happens to the best of it. Yeah, I'm sure you don't.
I never, ever,
right? And I think the reality of the realness of what we do mm-hmm. is what really attracts women and men too to
absolutely.
Our sport.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
So I really what I want to get to here is how are the new women, not just women who've been fly fishing forever and now can be like, oh, cool, we have a women's showcase. How do the new fly fishing women feel about all this excitement going on in women fly fishing?
You know, I think that they're super pumped about it. And I feel like because we've been doing such a push for the Women's Showcase over social media, that all of our presentations that we have, you know, at first there was kind of fluffy for presentations. Now we're getting like meat and potatoes, you know, like Alice Owsley just did fly fishing level 2, 201. You know, it's like we, so people I think are just excited about it, and they want to learn, and they feel like it's a safe outlet. You know, there's no drama, that's not intimidating, and they want to come and they feel like they're welcomed. And I feel that that's, you know, that they're really excited to learn and want to get into it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that they would be really excited to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a thing. So when we started in Denver, the first year that we actually had booths there, you know, we're off the show floor in Denver. And, you know, women are... People that came to the showcase were offended by that we are off the main floor. And even here at the Edison show, we're in the back, kind of have our own little section. And it was interesting because I was upset about that at first, too. I was thought, well, you know, why do we have to be segregated off the main floor? But it really has been like one of those cases where you create lemonade out of lemons, because we've created a safe haven for women. And I think that new women coming in, you know, those of us who have been in the industry for a very long time or who are very confident anglers, we feel comfortable on the main floor. The vast majority of women who are new to the sport don't. It's intimidating still. And I think that having a section that's by itself creates a safe haven for women to come and be able to talk and try stuff on and ask questions that they wouldn't feel comfortable asking right on the main floor. And I think that that's the important part. You know, we give them a place to do that, an outlet.
Well, I'm not going in the Castle Pond. Are you kidding me? I mean, even myself, I feel intimidated going to the Castle Pond.
Sure. It's intimidating.
It is.
Yeah. I don't want anybody watching me.
Everybody's watching you. Nobody's judging them.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, that there's a fitting room. Like, Jerry has a fitting room in her booth. And so if you look at all the other places that sell clothing, there's no fitting room. So
right,
that's important, too, you know, is to have a place that you can try on this stuff and make sure that the clothing fits and that the waders fit and the boots and look at yourself in the mirror and make, you know, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are some of the partners and the companies involved in the Women's Showcase?
So there have been a lot. We have some really great partners. For instance, Orvis 50-50 obviously is a good proponent for us. They started the initiative that was 50% women on the water, you know, 50-50 by 2020. In addition, we have Corkers. They make really excellent boots, and so they donate stuff to us and really support us.
And then the Real Sisters, so it's a great novel that was written by a woman who actually didn't fly fish when she started, when she started writing this book, and now she does.
Right.
And then Bull Sugar, so there's a lot of conservation issues. I think with fly fishing in general, you know, we want to take care of the resource that we have, and so they're just one of the great organizations that support us. Royal
right.
Treatment, we have the Delaware Women Fly Fishers, obviously Dunn and United. The TU, you know, TU is just so... influential and just so great for just our sport, truly, with conservation.
Right. And obviously, Casting for Recovery, we don't want to leave them out there. They do amazing things for women.
Mm-hmm.
True Fly Supply, which is like a subscription fly box, but they see the value in the woman angler, which is when a company comes to us and says, we believe in the woman angler and we're going to put our money where our mouth is and support you, that means a lot.
Right.
You know, there's even, so behind us here at the show is Cast King, and they have been instrumental, you know, came out as a conventional fishing line and then started to break into the fly fishing industry. And from the moment that they started to join the fly fishing industry, they saw women as the active, valid part of it. And that says a lot, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then we have just some of our vendors. So there's Fishywear, which is an awesome technical clothing apparel, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Fun and functional. And then obviously Athena and Artemis, the women's fly shop. And then we have Tightlines Jewelry.
Yep.
So there's some really good vendors in there, too.
Yeah, that's a great lineup of vendors and partners and women fly fishers. And
that's right.
Yeah.
Now, you guys do any like conclaves or hosted trips?
We do all of that, yeah.
Getting
yes,
ladies
yes,
together?
And yes,
yes. Uh-huh. And more, yes. So, you know, it's important, I think, for women to get together with other women. It just takes, like I said, all the intimidation away. So we do a lot of hosted trips where it's just a bunch of women that get together and go out and have a great time. And women and men fish for different reasons. And I think that's an important part of why our trips are so successful. And we do this road trip, which we do, which has been super successful. So
yeah, so we rip and hopper. So obviously Ripple and I hop from rock to rock. So my nickname's Hopper. And so we're Rip and Hopper's Adventures. And we did a road trip last year, was our first year in 2019. 2018, and we went 19 days, 3,500 miles, 13 states, and we did 5 events. And wow. We met up with women around the country, and we fished, and you know, the fishing was less than amazing to begin with. It got better as we got into Montana, but it was really cool to see how so many women wanted to be a part of the community and how much support there was. But not only women, it was just everyone, all anglers. You know, it's like this just community of fly fishing or just fishing and everything has just been so supportive of us. And we just continue to do those events. And I think these events were inexpensive, which is good, you know,
because yeah.
Fly fishing can definitely be an expense, or right. I like to say investment versus expense. And so I think the whole idea behind the different women's groups is that, or women's outings, is you have to have some that are budget friendly, and then you also have those ones that, you know, the people that can afford them
the
as well.
The destinations
and
stuff.
Yeah, so you have right. both, but you have to, like, we ended our trip in Craig, Montana. And for those who've never been to Craig,
the Mo.
Like the Mo, the Mighty Mo.
That's
so there's,
right.
you know, a population of 30. We brought 75 people to Craig,
cool.
Montana. There was an announcement at the bar that said, thank you, Rip and Hopper. We've never seen so many women in Craig, Montana before.
Rip and Hopper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it. And that was budget friendly. Like, people could get a guide, they could walk away, they could do whatever. And that's the key, I think, to creating that this angling community, because even gentlemen can't afford going
right.
to destinations. It's yeah. you have to make it affordable and fun
yeah.
and non-intimidating.
And
so.
I think too, especially as women, you know, women are more apt to, especially those who have families, to spend money on everybody else before they spend the money on themselves. Mm-hmm. So making something that's affordable, where they feel like they're not taking food out of their
yeah.
kids' mouths in order, or out of their kids' college fund, to be able to go on something that feels selfish to themselves, you know, is really, really important. So
I'm yeah. feeling pretty guilty right about now.
Hey, I spend more money than you want to know.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Like,
that's.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you have me beat by a long
yeah.
shot.
I'm doing Australia, New Zealand, and Russia in one this year.
Okay, yeah, you
so
have us all
I'm
beat.
Like,
yeah,
yeah,
Hopper,
to,
you're
like,
hopping around.
I'm hopping around. This is
big
the year
time
of the
hopping.
I turned
That's
four.
Right.
I turned 40 this year, so I am like doing it, and it's
get
a
it,
trout,
get it done.
Man.
Get
and
it
love,
done.
And this is what I love. And
That's
I think
awesome.
The women are finding this addiction.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many women that you have this fishy talk with, or you
right.
nerd out on all your bugs, and you do all this, and this happens. Like, this is a real thing. Women are, it's awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
Jen, how did you get started with Dunn Magazine? I mean, this is incredible.
It is a fly fishing magazine where 99% of the authors are women.
Okay, so
and
that's
so
yeah, distinction that I didn't know about.
It is a distinction, yeah. It's because, you know, I would say 60% of our readership is probably male. You know, or that we can tell, you know, a lot of women sign up under their household names, so it's hard to know. But, yeah, we have a big men read our magazine because, first and foremost, it's a fly fishing magazine. And so when I was working with another magazine that was called a Tight Loop magazine. It was a Midwest fly fishing magazine. And I was writing a woman's column, and I looked around to write for a woman's magazine, and there wasn't one. And I was just shocked by that, and I thought, well, if I'm missing it, then other people are as well. And so I like the fact that I wanted it to be an empowering magazine, and the way that I feel empowered is not by telling a professional woman's story that's like, oh, I went to BC and I caught this beautiful steelhead, and you know, but I'm a professional angler and I can do that. That's not empowering to the everyday woman. What is empowering is hearing a story about a woman who maybe whose dad was an avid fly angler who wanted to take her fly fishing and then never went with him, and then he died unexpectedly and she found his fly fishing gear and worked through the stages of grief with her dad's fly rod. That's something that everybody can kind of relate to, and those are the stories we tell. We tell the everyday angler stories.
How long ago did you start?
This is our sixth year.
But
six
it's
years.
In print.
In print, this is our third year.
Oh, third, because you started
yep.
digital?
Only digital, yep. I started out as only a digital magazine, and I'd like to say that I was really smart and that was my business plan, but I was never going to go to print, but it really ended up being good because we had such a big audience as a digital magazine that then when we went to print, it was easy to convert those people to buy the print magazine, you know.
Because they already understood your product.
Yeah, and they already loved it and were asking for it. We had so many people asking, where can I buy your magazine? When are you going to make a print magazine? So for me, yeah, I got super lucky.
And anyone who hasn't touched it, it's made of yeah. biodegradable material, and it just
okay.
feels good.
It feels
it does.
Different, yeah.
It does, and it's big and it's beautiful. It's almost like a coffee book table.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
I'm going to make a couple points of the magazine that I, you know, being in media, podcasting, and web design, and I'm so much more graphic than I am the text. You know, the text is important, but a lot of times I'll scan it and, you know, I'll get the gist of the article. But how it looks to me is how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And so it's like that flat color. It's more of a flat instead
it
of
is.
A gloss.
Right, it's a matte.
It's a matte. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like that. And then it has the kind of holographic done on the cover that has like a sheen. What is it?
It's a foil stamp.
Okay, the foil stamp. It's awesome.
Thank you.
You know, because that really pops off the matte finish.
Yeah, it's pretty, right?
It is.
Well, you know, we say it's okay for you to read done for the pictures. It's all right.
that's right.
And they're good. And they are amateur. Good. Yeah. That's what's so
Yeah, they're
great.
All amateur, right.
You know, it's just this grassroots. It's like, it's amazing that these photos are coming from the everyday angler.
Right.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And I think both of us, you know, that's what we just really are passionate about, getting more people involved, and we really want to connect the women. And it's so, you know, it's, when I say that about the magazine, yeah, it's beautiful, and it's, you know, and I am the editor of it, but really it's a collective, and I think that that's what it's about. And, you know, I always say, like, when I was working with the Tight Loop magazine, 99% of those authors were men, and then 99% of my authors are women. And the difference in the dichotomy between the two are so amazing. And Heather has heard me say this, but it's so true. It's like you have a baby and I say to you, oh my God, your baby's so cute, and how much does your baby weigh, and look at all that hair, and what a cute little outfit. Those are my authors at Dunn. Whereas the authors at a Tight Loop were like, my baby's bigger than your baby, my baby has more hair than your baby, you know. And it's just a completely different feel in a fly fishing magazine that people around the world say, what is so different about your magazine? They don't even realize that it's all women in the magazine. They just realize that it's a different type of magazine that they can relate to.
Yeah. Men are from Venus and women are from Mars. I get it. It's important. And it's important to have that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you need that difference, because you could have like 17,000 of the same exact magazine.
Right.
The fact that you guys are different is better. Different is better.
It is.
Better isn't always better. Right. Sometimes different is better. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Agreed.
And, you know, it's like the blue ocean, red ocean. You know, you could fight it over in the red ocean. There's so many people in that red ocean, bloody red ocean. Let's go over to the blue ocean because there's nobody over there.
Exactly.
Right.
And so the fact that you guys are kind of filling that need is awesome. And with a really quality product, too. So that's kudos to you.
Thank you.
So where is Dunn off to this year?
Well, we just got back from Argentina.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. And then this year, we are doing a road trip. So Rip and Hopper are doing a road trip. And that's, I think, our biggest event that we have planned. We have a lot of events planned. But we're doing a redfish trip from Nags Head, North Carolina, all the way around the coast, all the way following through Rockport, Texas. So...
Yeah.
We're going to be in New Orleans for Halloween.
Yep, so anybody that wants to join us,
come on out, we're going.
Going to NOLA.
Does Rip and Hopper have a website?
Not yet.
We're working on that.
So some social media stuff, you know. We had some great sponsors on this road trip, and we'll continue with that. And, you know, yeah, we'll probably get a website. It's just, it's hard because it's Jen and I, you know.
Right.
So we filmed a movie. We were filming while we were doing this. So I'm trying to, like, not crash my drone and do social media posts and do a spreadsheet on our finances. Like, so it's...
Multitasking.
It's, well, yeah, we're really good
she's
at multitasking.
She's the queen. No, she's really good at it.
So it, all in time. You know, it's just like this slow growth. And it's really... We have a great following. And we're actually showing our movie from the road trip tomorrow night. So at our women's social. So it's 11 minute of the whole entire road trip. It's awesome.
That's so cool.
It's pretty fun.
Come out.
Yeah.
I will. And can people who hear this podcast later, like, see that movie sometime?
Well, we're going to make it public after we've shown it other places. So
maybe
it'll be kind of like, probably the end of this, maybe summer, fall. Yeah.
That'd
be
good.
Because we're going to travel around. I'm from Spokane, Washington, so we're going to do one in Spokane, a showing. We're going to Nashville to do a showing. So we're going to just travel around the country and do showings also, just to continue this, like, community.
The journey. And fly fishing journeys.
That's right.
Totally. It is.
Fly fishing journeys.
Fishing is a journey.
That is true. Yeah. Why don't I rewind? Before we close, I want to get the front end story, because you guys have come so far. But Heather, how did you get started into fly fishing?
You know, I was born in Alaska, so I live in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
And my uncle owns a fly-out fly fishing launch, and so I've always, like, had it in my, you know, just boiling in my veins.
That's
right?
Cool.
And so my dad was a hunting guide, and so I conventional fished, and I hunted, and then 10 years ago, I decided I wanted to I had a boyfriend, and we decided we're going to fly fish.
Nice.
And it took me an entire year to catch my first fish on the fly. I was horrible. And, you know, I became super addicted, started to read, started to learn, started to get on the water and fail all the time, but then got better and better and better.
Yeah.
And then took some local fly shop classes, and now I teach that, and I run the women's program at the local fly shop at Silver Bell Fly Shop in Spokane.
That's so cool.
So it's like this full circle of just dedication, and, you know, I'd always fish with the guys, and it's like, well, I want to have some, you know, I'm a nurse, so I'm always out fishing because it's a great way to get away from, you know, the alarms in the ICU or whatever, and so it's a great way for me to just step away. De-stress, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of women that are nurses. And so what a great way to make fishy friends that are my nurse friends that have the same crazy schedule that I do, that don't just have the weekends off. And so I started Spokane Women on the Fly in 6 years ago. And so that's how, and then, you know, Spokane was so successful that women wanted to start groups very similar to Spokane Women on the Fly. So I then started United Women on the Fly. So it's not limited just to that, you know, area.
Yeah.
And so here we are. Now we have like chapters, and not even chapters, but just like groups that have started things. So if you Google Women on the Fly, there's so many groups out there because of United and just this amazing community. And they just want to be a part of it. So
it's that's really a lot of fun. It's that sounds like it keeps you wicked busy.
Yeah. And I'm a nurse. So I like work full time.
Yeah.
So people that look at my social media think that I'm a professional fly fisher because I'm pretty fishy and the fish gods are good to me. And, you know, and I'm always out there, but I'm always, I just multitask.
She never sleeps. Poor never, Jen, ever
like,
sleeps.
I'm getting up at 3 a.m. I'm going to text her, and then I'll do all my emails. Then I go to work for 12 hours, and then I come home, and I'm back on social media, and then I go to bed, and I do it all over again.
So do you save the email for the morning, or you just send it at 2:30 in the morning?
I send it at 2. I just have to do it. Yeah.
Sometimes I save it. I was like, I don't want people to know I'm like working so late.
People know. Just because I have to pay for this crazy addiction I call fly fishing.
Yeah.
So they know that I work
just
during the day.
Just send it.
Yeah. Yeah. So they know. And I'll have some Insta stories of like me a cup of coffee at like 2:39 in the morning or whatever.
Up early. You
know? Yeah. Just I got to get it done.
That's awesome.
It's so busy and so awesome that I don't want to disappoint anybody. Like I want to answer emails and I want to be that person that they can come to and I can help them.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you're sporting some fishy wear?
I am. I am an ambassador for fishy wear.
Cool.
So it's the only actual fly fishing company that I am an ambassador for. I love that it's technical apparel. I love that they're women owned from Alaska and being, you know, born in Alaska.
Yeah.
It's an awesome, awesome company. So Linda's pretty amazing. So.
Well, let's talk more later about your story and stuff. Totally. Jen, how did you get started fly fishing?
So it's interesting because when we were on a road trip, we realized that we started fly fishing at the same time.
And we're Russian.
Yeah, and we're Russian. And
I mean,
our parents are like right off the boat and all that stuff. Yeah, it's crazy.
You guys are practically sisters.
I know, right? It's weird. It's crazy. But we started at the same time. I was in Michigan and I had broken up with a boyfriend and was looking for something to do. It was the middle of winter there. It was really cold. And so I took a fly tying class at the local fly shop. And from that point forward, it was like from the moment I walked in the fly shop, I was just an addict. I just like couldn't wait. And so then when the ice was off the Huron River, I started just teaching myself to cast and fish every day after work. And so from that point forward, it was just like such an addiction that I couldn't imagine doing anything else. And then I feel like I just got really, really lucky because, you know, one thing led to another, and I was writing for this magazine. I was writing a different blog at the time. It wasn't fly fishing related. And the guy who owned a Tight Loop magazine knew about that blog, and he said, would you be interested in writing a woman's column? And then from that point forward, it's just been like one thing after another. You know, I'd like to sit here and say, oh, it was really smart of me. I saw that the women's industry was going to, you know, like take off. The women's fly fishing was really going to take off. And so I planned it all up, but I did not. I just really, really got lucky. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yep.
Well, you also have an incredible drive, you know, to start a magazine, start it online, and then to take a digital print. That shows sign of drive and determination. You're a huge example for everybody in fly fishing, women included, men included. And so for what you're doing with Dunn Magazine and what you guys are doing with Rip and Hop and traveling all over the world, and it's just awesome. So Fly Fishing Journeys wants to keep in touch with both Dunn Magazine and United Women on the Fly. We'd like to talk to you guys more in the future. We'll follow your social media. And we're going to stay tuned because fly fishing is a journey.
Absolutely.
It is.
And you guys are definitely on an awesome journey.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. So why don't we give our listeners your websites one more time. Heather, you go ahead.
So it's UWOTF.com.
And all United, the women.
Yeah, so United Women on the Fly.
Yeah, and they can tune in there and they can kind of partner up and they can see where they can connect with other women.
Yep. And all social media outlets, you know.
Yeah.
So mostly Instagram or Facebook. So just that, yeah, being able to socialize and connect.
Very cool. And then, Jen, for people who wanted to subscribe to Done Magazine.
Yeah, so if you want to subscribe to Done, it's quarterly magazine. It's $40 for the year. And you can find it at dunmagazine.com. Done like the Mayfly, D-U-N. magazine.com.
And I know you've been very generous with Bull Sugar. You've been passing out a bunch of subscriptions there, and I signed up for Bull Sugar.
Oh, good. Awesome. Good, good.
And I was already a subscriber of Done, so I was able to pass my subscription on to a friend of mine who lives, a lady who lives in the Pulaski area.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Who just started fly fishing herself. So.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be fired up to get her first issue coming up soon. So, guys, thanks for being. You guys are our first podcast here in Edison.
That's right.
Pretty fun.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fly Fishing Journeys with your host, Rob Giannino. To be notified of new episodes, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. For past episodes, check out flyfishingjourneys.com. Fly fishing is a journey, and we're glad you're on this journey with us.